track 12 when we come to our feature article, which is read by Brian.
Hello. This week we turn once again to the advertiser's Nature Diary. This week it's a piece by Nigel Mortimer about our remarkable estuaries. He writes, "There's a saying among dog owners that everyone thinks they have the best dog in the world, and every one of them is right. It's just a way of saying that they're all different and all special. So whenever I hear people talk about the beauty and uniqueness of the estuary by which they live, work or play, I always agree and think of that saying. All of our South Devon estuaries from the Yelm round to the Teen are rears or drowned river valleys. In fact, all of the South Cornwall estuaries are rears too. This means they're not carved out directly by glacial processes. Instead, they were formed during the ice ages by the raging energy of rivers carving deep riverbeds. At the time, with so much water locked up in the ice sheets, the sea level was about 120 metres below today's levels. We would have had to walk another 10 to 20 miles just to reach the sea. As the climate warmed and the ice melted, the rising sea level gradually flooded the lower stretches of these riverbeds, and whichever stretch of the riverbed was tidal became, in a sense, the estuary of that time. I say in a sense because they may not have possessed other typical estuarine features such as mudflats. Much would have depended upon how fast or slowly the sea level rose through each stretch. When the melting stabilised around today's levels, the estuaries we recognise formed and settled. Sediments from land and sea created mudflats, while animals, seaweeds and plants thrived to form the ecosystems we know today. Of course, with ongoing climate change, our estuaries are once more migrating slightly upstream. How far and how quickly this happens depends on us. So, despite all of our South Devon estuaries being rears, and by the way, that's spelled R-I-A-S, rears or drowned river valleys, they're otherwise quite individual. Their characteristics depend on their geography and geology, depth, and the size of their freshwater rain catchment area. Those that are deeper have naturally been used as harbours and ports, such as the Yelm, Salcombe, Dart and the Teen. The Irm and the Avon still have anchorages, but they mostly drain out with each low tide. The Salcombe Kingsbridge estuary has a very small rainwater catchment, so is heavily dominated by tidal salt water. Because of this, it supports a more marine diversity and richness of wildlife. Conversely, the Dart estuary has a far larger rainwater catchment and is generally thought to support a more typical estuarine wildlife community, dominated by fewer species. It's said that after a rainstorm in the Dart's catchment area, you can taste the fresh water flowing out over the denser seawater right down as far as Dartmouth Castle. I've always wondered what wildlife treasures might be found around the depths of the Dart's anchor stone, where the rich tidal waters sweep by. The fresh water also washes down more turbid and moorland peat-stained water, meaning that the depths remain hidden from view. The Yelm is a bit of a halfway house. It has a reasonable input of fresh water, but not enough to flush out the build-up of nutrients, causing it to suffer from green and red algal blooms. But this is nothing like the level of algal blooms that the Salcombe-Kingsbridge estuary experiences, probably because there's so little fresh water to flush them out. I did a bit of research and was reminded that we have 9 different types of estuary in the UK, of which our rears are only just one. Our local X estuary is what is called a bar-built estuary. It was formed, much like our drowned river estuaries, but the sediment that settled within its depths kept pace with the rising sea level. This made it a very shallow estuary, and the sediment now forms a bar across the estuary mouth. I also found that Slapton Lee, or Lagoon, was a bar-built estuary at one time in its history. However, shingle closed the gap, probably during a storm, and remained stable enough to create the lagoon we now know as the Lee. Over the years, the salt water has been washed out, but even now the salt spray from storms can be enough to make it temporarily brackish. The water level of the Lee is higher than the tidal level, creating a net water flow from the Lee into the sea. Sometimes, if you snorkel on the seaward side, you might see a slur, a shimmer, or blurriness in the water, and this is the fresh water filtering through from the shingle of the line as it mixes with the seawater. I wonder how much longer the Lee will survive before the sea breaks through to create a new landscape.